Locked On NBA, the biggest stories, the local experts. Every Monday on the Locked On NBA podcast, we dig into the biggest stories across the NBA with the Locked On Podcast Network hosts. Today, we're going to check in with some of the projected worst teams in the NBA. We're going to go to Oklahoma City to speak with Ryland Stiles of the Locked On Thunder podcast. We're going to go to Detroit to speak with Kuka Hill of Locked On Pistons. And then we're going to go to Orlando to speak with Philip Rossman-Reich of the Locked On Magic podcast to tell you why you shouldn't ignore these bad teams and what fun things they have in store for this upcoming season. It's all coming up. The biggest stories with the local experts on Locked On NBA.
You are Locked On NBA. Your daily NBA podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to another week of Locked On NBA. I am your Monday host, Josh Lloyd. I'm also the host of the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, and I'm the lead analyst at BasketballMonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. Jump on. Listen, subscribe, listen to this podcast because we're going to talk about the bad teams in the NBA. During the season, we don't get as much of an opportunity to focus on these, but I'm going to tell you why you should be looking, at least watching some of the games of some of these bad teams and seeing what actually interesting things are going on. Pay attention to the bad teams too. There's fun stuff right across the NBA. So let's get to it. All right, let's bring in now the host of the Locked On Thunder podcast, Ryland Stiles, is here with me. Now, today, we're talking about the three worst teams in the NBA. That's not my designation. That's the Vegas over-under. I don't think you'd argue with this. So one of the three worst teams in the NBA is the Oklahoma City Thunder. And what we want to do is give people ideas of what to expect for this team this season and why you would want to tune into a Thunder game. Because we all know why you would want to watch the Nets play or the Bucks or the Lakers, that sort of stuff. Okay, so why should we be watching games, one game, two games, five games, 20 games of the Thunder if I'm not a Thunder fan this season?
I think that with the Thunder, although they are going to be bad record-wise by design, they're going to be a competitive and scrappy team like they were last year. And so that kind of old-school blue-collar style of play can really draw in a certain demographic of fans for the NBA. And also, this year, unlike even last year's roster, has so many more young, intriguing players. Not only SGA, who can kind of solidify himself as a all-star caliber player this year, and Lou Dort, who's been an awesome defensive player, but Pokuševski came on really strong in that second half of the season playing without SGA. How can he play with SGA? Josh Giddey, the sixth overall pick in this draft that you're familiar with. Josh Giddey is a really elite passer and has that elite NBA trait from day number one. And then you have even Darius Baze looking for that breakout season. Tao Maledon was awesome last year. And then Trey Mann can be somebody who at the end of the season, whenever it gets the dog days of the NBA and you're looking for other teams to watch, Trey Mann can have that spark plug offense with those step back threes, his shot creation, to where he'll create a ton of highlights. It will not result in a ton of wins for Oklahoma City, but it will result in a ton of highlights and a ton of fun play. So the interesting pieces in this roster are here this year, unlike last year.
So would you say that this is a fun team to watch? Like, is that the selling point of watching the Thunder? Is it it's a bunch of young guys outside of, say, Derek Favors? It's just a bunch of guys who are going to play, you know, hard. We're going to be talking about a team that plays, I guess, up-tempo and just tries things out.
Yeah, it's going to be a young team that doesn't know any better. And so, like, they're not going to go into the game expecting to get killed. They think that they can compete and win every single game, and they haven't had that sort of innocence sucked out of them yet with the NBA lifestyle and traveling. And also, you mentioned the style of play. You're going to see something very interesting in Oklahoma City that we're not sure can work. The plan for Sam Presti in this organization has been, let's try to find out how, as a small market, we can find a market inefficiency in the NBA. And they think that the way to do that is by creating a entire roster of guys 6'9", 6'8", 6'10", who can all ball handle, who can all shoot, who can all play that guard position, and who can all be very versatile. Now, is that a way to construct the roster? That's yet to be seen. But this is our first glimpse at it, where we're going to see lineups where you have five guards on the floor and you're playing a small ball five and you're trying to figure out who's the actual point guard, who's the facilitator, who's the shooter, and you just don't know what to expect. So watching a new style of basketball will be interesting. And then with Mark's team last year, they were fast, they got up a lot of shots, and they tried to just hunt threes. And this year they have more shooters, they have more players adaptation to that style. So seeing if the groundwork can work for this new innovative way to look at basketball with Sam Presti will be our first glimpse of how this rebuild might go.
If someone tunes into a Thunder game, what will they be surprised by?
I think that they'll be surprised mostly by Pokuševski, that he's not a meme. If he plays the way he does in the second half of last year, if you only watch him the first half and you of the season And you saw how he was, you know, missing shots, airballing shots, shot like 10%. And you saw how he was calling for the ball and was being like this, you know, incredible personality on the floor, dancing around and embarrassing himself a bit, you know, in a good way off the floor. Then to you, he's still just this NBA Twitter character. He's Bo Bol. He's just something different. But if you watched him in the second half after returning from the G League, he was a legitimately good NBA player. Now, can he do that again? Can he make it an improvement? And also, can he coexist with a guy like SGA? How do they benefit each other in a multitude of ways? So I think that they'll be most surprised by Pokuševski being a talented NBA player and not like a joke. Other than that, you might be surprised by Josh Giddey, who looked like as though it was a reach at pick six at the time. And you're learning more about him. You're seeing the vision for the Thunder and for him. So I think they'll be surprised most by Pokuševski. He's not just a complete kind of meme, and he's actually a really good NBA player.
Do you think the Vegas over-under sitting at like 21.5, 22.5 wins in an 82-game season? You know, would you think the Thunder, who through some luck early last season, they were pushing well above that. They were pushing towards 500 until they said, guys, we can't have that, and we just need everyone to not play. Yeah, what are you looking at in terms of that, you know, 22 wins? Are they going to be pushing over that again this season, do you think?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because you have the 10 more games this year, and then last year, you know, they were right at that over-under number, and then all of a sudden Shea got hurt. So they just lost a ton of games. So this year, if you expect Shea to stay healthy, which we all do, he's 23 years old, and he's going to be a healthy young player, I would bet the over because, again, this team is not one that's littered with veterans. I mean, they're going to trade favors at some point, and so they're going to get even younger, and to where these guys don't know any better. They're not going to know that, hey, we should lose this game. Let's just mosey on in here, collect our paycheck, and go home. They fight to the bitter end. It's not efficient. It's not beautiful basketball. It's not the Warriors of a few years ago. It's downright gritty and dirty, and they make life hard for the opponent. And against certain teams, they're not expecting that. They're not, you know, kind of wanting to get into that kind of dogfight every single night, and so they sneak up and beat teams. That's what they did early on. Early on, their net rating was terrible. Their offensive rating was terrible. Their defensive rating was terrible. But they still won games because they're the only team on the floor that took it seriously and treated it as though it's like a playoff-caliber game. So you're going to see that from the Thunder. And with Shea, he'll try to win every single game. And so they'll win. I would bet over that if you believe in Shea's health, which I do.
Yeah, I think they're a big chance to go over that as well. Now, I guess in terms of season accolades, the one that would stand out to me is the Shea to make All-Star team, if you're going to look at something as an award to hang your hat on. What other players do you think are in the mix? Or let me phrase it this way. What do you think is more likely, that Josh Giddey wins Rookie of the Year or Lu Dort wins Defensive Player of the Year / gets on an All-Defensive team?
I think that it'll be really hard for voters to vote for a player like Lu Dort for All-Defensive team because it's the way that the voters do vote on these awards. He should make it. I don't think that he will. I think that with Josh Giddey, kind of the most, the other besides Shea getting All-Star, that most likely that happened would be Giddey being an All-Rookie player, because Josh Giddey from day one should start, likely will start. He'll get a ton of minutes, a ton of time on the floor. He'll never really play with the Blue. He'll play with the Thunder all year long. And as someone like you, Josh, who's watched Josh Giddey before, whenever I talk about how Mark and Sam are building this system of positionless basketball, of tall guards who control the pace, control the floor, that's exactly what we're describing with Josh Giddey. And so it's a system designed for him and to amplify his strengths. While he might not shoot efficiently, he'll get the counting stats because he'll play longer than anybody else and he'll collect rebounds. So if things don't go as planned with Green and Cunningham, maybe he slides up to Rookie of the Year. I think he'll at least be an all rookie team member. But Rookie of the Year, I think, was going to go clearly to Cade Cunningham.
It's going to be interesting to watch this team. Like I'm out there watching every team, but if you are a person who doesn't normally tune into the teams at the bottom, the Thunder are going to be super fun, and Rylan, you'll have it covered for us all over on Locked On Thunder throughout the preseason, heading into the regular season, of course. Thanks for coming on Locked On NBA with me.
Thanks for having me.
Sweatblock is the doctor-created, doctor-recommended product. Not problem. It's the product to help your problem of excessive sweating. We all know someone in our life that sweats too much. They have that problem, you know, of sweat patches appearing under their shirt. It just can get embarrassing. Well, Sweatblock has you covered. It gives you the dry shirt guarantee. So if you don't stay dry, you get your money back. These products have been around for over 10 years, and they are used by thousands of people. Previously, you could get them at Amazon, you get them at CVS. Now you can just get them at sweatblock.com as well as those other places, of course. Now what you do, you get the wipes, wipe them on before you go to bed, wake up the next morning, have your shower, have your wash, head off to school, head off to work, head off to whatever you're going to do, and you're covered for up to 7 days. So head to sweatblock.com, find the product that suits you, Sweatblock wipes, and if you use our promo code LOCKEDON, you will save 20% off your order. So head to sweatblock.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON to save 20%. This might be a familiar problem for you as well. You watch your live sport on one device, you've got another login to watch other shows, you've got highlights on your phone, and then you've got your friends log in to watch the other good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all of that entertainment you love all in one place without the hassle and finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there is no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV. TV.com. Compatible device required and content varies by package. All right, so let's talk Detroit Pistons and bring in the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Koo Cahill is here with me. Koo, welcome back to the show. And the first question, yeah, it's a broad question. Why should people watch the team that was one of the worst teams in the NBA last season? Why should they watch them this season?
So I think the easy answer, and I think the obvious one everyone's going to go to immediately, is because Cade Cunningham, obviously the first overall pick, is in Detroit now. So I think he's the easy answer for why you should watch the Pistons. But I think another reason why you should tune in to watch the Pistons is because there's a lot of different storylines that you can be tracking with this team. There's a bunch of different battles going on for starting spots. They have a new I don't know if I can call it new because it has been around a year now, but they have like this new core now, like the team that you've known for like the past 7 years, of like Andre Drummond, Blake, Reggie Jackson, like all those guys. Literally every single member of that team is gone. It's a new era. The longest tenured Piston is Killian Hayes, who was drafted last year. So it's a completely new team full of young guys everywhere you look, of Josh Jackson, Hamidou Diallo, Killian Hayes, Sadiq Bey, Isaiah Stewart, Cade Cunningham. Now you got Isaiah Livers, you got Luka Garza. Like, it's just a team full of young guys everywhere you look, and tuning in to see how each young guy plays out, if any of them turn out to be something. I think there's a ton of things to be looking forward to, even if you're not a Pistons fan.
Yeah, I think the Cade Cunningham one is the obvious one, just to see how the number one pick in the draft goes. I think another one that might be underrated, Koo, is seeing them wear a jersey that might represent that hat that you're wearing there. Maybe the teal horses are coming back this year, are they? Hopefully they're back.
I mean, all of us really want them to. I know. I apparently I'm told that when they were around, everyone hated them.
But now
that times went by, like, we've been begging for the teal jerseys to return for like years now. So, like I said, I told you before we started up that, you know, coaches showed up to a practice in summer league. All of them were wearing the teal, but they won't say nothing about it. So, like, they're teasing us. I don't know. We hope so, though. We hope we get to see it.
What's happening in the NBA? They're not having the City Edition jerseys this year, is my understanding, but they're doing a 75th anniversary mashup sort of thing. So bringing in past designs, not just exact retros, but past designs and changing them around a little bit. And it would be a massive upset to me if the Pistons one did not include the horse and did not include the teal color in those ones. Because let's be honest, the Pistons City Edition jerseys have not been particularly great over the couple of years. But they bring the teal ones out. That's going to be a monster thing to see over there at Little Caesars Arena. But I think you're right in terms of just the young players on this team. Like, people will look at this team and you'll have, four first-round picks starting most likely with Stewart, Bay, Cunningham, and Hayes on this team. From within the last 12 months, literally the draft was November in 2020. So you're going to have four first round picks that haven't even been in the NBA for a full calendar year starting on one team. A lot of young guys. Who's the oldest player even on this roster? Is it Corey Joseph?
Is it Corey Joseph? It might be. I don't know off the top of my head. I think it would be like around Corey Joseph, or possibly, could Kelly Olynyk even be an answer? He might be up there as well.
Yeah, maybe it is Kelly Olynyk. But Kelly Olynyk's a fun player to watch as well. He was fantastic for Houston last season, which not many people would have watched down the stretch. He can really bomb it and play some interesting offense with his passing. In terms of the play style this team will run out there, are they a team that's going to be they're not going to be playing like we're a really bad team, so we've got to slow things down and just make things a defensive slugfest type of scenario, are they?
No, I don't think so. I think that's another reason why you would really like to watch the Pistons. Obviously, I don't think they're going to be that good this year, but their play style, I expect them to be playing extremely fast. They got like two of, like, you already saw some of it in the Summer League. Now, obviously, it's Summer League, but just like the play style, you already knew what was going to happen. With Killian Hayes and Cade Cunningham in your backcourt, you have two guys who are capable of taking the ball down the court and pushing the tempo. Killian loves doing the full court passes. He had a few full court bounce passes this past season that were just like magical. But he absolutely loves getting the ball and racing down the floor. So does Kay Cunningham. You also got Hamidou Diallo, who is one of the best rebounding guards I've seen. And there was a play last year when he like grabbed a rebound. It was his first game here. I hadn't watched much of him before, but he grabbed a rebound. He tapped out with it. He tapped it on the glass, and I was like, okay, this guy's for real. He took it and like just went all the way full court. So I think they're going to be extremely fun to watch because of that as well. Anytime they get a stop, anytime they get a defensive rebound, I think they're just going to be pushing it fast down the floor because, like you said, they don't have Blake no more. They don't have Derrick Rose, even though Derrick Rose likes to play somewhat fast himself. But like they don't have these old guys no more. They have a lineup, like you said, of four first-round picks who want to run. And I believe I just tweeted this out the other day. Sadiq Bey was like in the 90th percentile in transition points. That's from him running the floor and spotting up along the side. Now he got athletes running with him everywhere you look. I think it's going to be extremely fun to watch when they get stops.
And for those that don't know, Hamidou Diallo is a top 10 dunker in the NBA, probably. He won the dunk contest a couple of years ago for the Oklahoma City Thunder. So he's a guy that can get up and really throw it down as well. So, yeah, fun, athletic team. Not going to be afraid to shoot threes as well. Their center at times with Kelly Olynyk's going to be out there bombing those threes and really spreading things out and providing some real entertainment. So they're not that team that's going to be... some of the times bad teams are just really, really hard to watch. They are fun. And, of course, you know, the Cade Cunningham factor is absolutely massive on this team. Do you expect him, to win the Rookie of the Year?
So I saw like the odds come out the other day, or not the odds, I think like NBA players voted or something. I don't know which one it was. And I saw Jalen Green was leading it. I think it's going to be close because like, I think Cade said this himself, that he's going to come to the team. He's not looking to like come and just like shoot 30 shots and just like, you know, score inefficiently like rookies do and just get a bunch of stats, or whatever, and stack up on that. He's not looking for that. He's looking to like come in. He's very mature. He's looking to come and set a culture, play the right way, help get his teammates better. And you saw that somewhat in the summer league. Now, I still expect him to get his stats up. I expect somewhere around like 17, 5 and 5 possibly. That's what I think. But I think Jalen Green in Houston is going to be the complete opposite of that. I think he's just going to shoot whenever he touches the ball. And he's probably going to average like close to 20 points, if not 20 points a game. So I won't say I expect him to do it because I think the points is what people really look at. I wouldn't be surprised if Jalen Green scores more than him this year. But I think he'll be the best rookie in this class this year, though. I will say that.
Oh, here's a question, which I'm not sure if there's actually an answer to this, but let's try it out anyway. Outside of Cade winning Rookie of the Year, what other Piston would have the highest chance of winning some sort of accolade, whether that's all-rookie team, most improved player, all-star selection, all-NBA, defensive player of the year, all-defense team? Like, which other Pistons could be in the running for one of those awards?
So I'm actually happy you asked me that question because I literally just made a podcast last week and I made this bold prediction for Pistons season. And this was actually one of the answers. And I'll say that I think it doesn't happen often that they give it to players like this, but my hot take was Killian Hayes winning Most Improved Player of the Year. I don't think they usually like give it to rookies who make a jump into their second year because it's kind of like expected. But I made the case that like, you know, Killian's coming from a different type of point of view because I think everyone outside Detroit basically has already given up on him and just assumed that he sucks, even though he only played 26 games. So like the outside perspective on Killian Hayes is that he's not that good. Even though us in Detroit have seen like reasons to believe in him still and like, oh, he's only played 2016, but look what he did in this, blah, blah. So we see why he could possibly take a jump. So I feel like if he does take a jump this second season, everyone outside Detroit should be like, oh, my God, this guy actually could be good. We thought he sucked. And the jump that he makes, according to people outside Detroit, will seem bigger than it will to like people in Detroit, I feel like. So that's why I think he would have like an outside shot at it if he does take a jump.
Yeah, that is spicy, but your reasoning is spot on because people will just think that he's done. Like he's the worst player in the NBA. He shouldn't be starting. He shouldn't be on an NBA court. That he's out of there. Like people think this already. And if he becomes like a solid starting NBA point guard, a top 25 NBA point guard, which I don't think is crazy. I think he's already a top 25 defensive point guard in the NBA. And yeah, his passing ability is there. And if the shots start going in, then yeah, he could surprise people. So that's interesting, Chris. So we'll keep an eye out for that. I don't think we'll hold you to it when we get back to it at the end of the season, but it is something to watch for this Detroit Pistons team. And anything you want to hear about the Pistons, Koo is going to have it covered for you all over on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Koo, thanks for coming on Locked On NBA with me.
Absolutely.
Today's show is brought to you by Sleeper. Sleeper is a new app for fantasy basketball. It is a different way of playing fantasy basketball. If you are playing in a league and you don't want to have to make moves every day, Sleeper might be for you because they had a new format called Game Pick. And what it is for the week, you don't play all of your players' games. You just pick the one that you want. So each player plays one game. So no more unevenness across the matchup. And that might be something that suits what you're looking for in a fantasy basketball app. The app is slick. The app is it's so good to look at. The user functionality, amazing. What a great interface they have. So many different options, whether it's a redraft league, a keeper league, a dynasty league. Sleeper has that all covered for you, and they do it while looking good and being very, very user-friendly. So go to Sleeper, download the app on your phone, and start a league with your mates today. It might be the best thing that you ever do. Go to Sleeper, get that app, and try it out for fantasy basketball season, which is just around the corner. Don't let the stress of daily life weigh on your body. Whether you're an elite athlete or someone like me just trying to make it through the day tension-free, Theragun can help. Theragun is the handheld percussive therapy device that releases your deepest muscle tension using a scientifically calibrated combo of depth, speed, and power. And it's as quiet as an electric toothbrush. The Gen 4 Theragun doesn't just feel good. It gets to the source of your pain by releasing tension using Theragun's signature percussive therapy, which goes 60% deeper than vibration alone. The OLED screen and design makes you feel like you're holding something from the future. Just go to their site and check it out. And the Theragun app learns from your behaviors and suggests guided routines. Theragun is trusted by 250 professional sports teams like Real Madrid and elite athletes like Paul George, DeAndre Hopkins, Maria Sharapova, hundreds of thousands of customers, and me. Try Theragun for 30 days starting at only $199. Go to therabody.com/lockedon right now and get a Gen 4 Theragun today. That's therabody.com/lockedon. therabody.com/lockedon. All right, here he is, the host of the Locked On Magic podcast, Philip Rossman Reich is here. Phil, we've been doing this throughout the day today, talking about why you want to pay attention to the worst teams in the NBA. No offense to the Magic fans, the organization, all that sort of stuff, but they're not. I don't think they're particularly trying to be all that good this season, but that doesn't mean that you have to just ignore them for the season. There are still going to be fun things to watch and interesting things to watch with the Orlando Magic this season. So what you've been employed now as the number one marketing manager for the Orlando Magic. Sell us. Why are we watching the Magic this year?
Two words, Jalen Suggs. I mean, you saw what he did at the end in the NCAA tournament. You saw that half-court buzzer-beating shot. I don't need to sell you on anything more. This kid is a future star in the making. And you look at some of those teams at the top of the standings that are competing for championships. They also, a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them started at the bottom. You want to get in on the ground floor with this kid. This kid is going to be an all-star at the very, very least, and he's going to provide plenty of entertaining games. And you never know, you might get a great Cole Anthony post-game press conference in the meantime. That dude is just a cheerleader for everyone on his team. So, you know, with all these teams, I'm sure they're going to be touting their young guys, but you saw what Jalen Suggs did in the NCAA tournament with the half-court buzzer-beating shot. You know how good he can be. Watch him in the NBA because he's going to take the league by storm just like he took the college ranks by storm.
Do you think he starts opening night?
I do actually think he's going to start opening night. Some of that might be because Markelle Fultz won't be ready to play quite yet. But you know, from everything that I understand, everything that I sense, that Suggs is the guy. You know, he really. I thought there was some fun alpha posturing going on at Summer League. He took the reins from Cole Anthony. I don't see a way that he isn't ahead of him on the depth chart at the very least. And so I think that he's going to be, if not in the starting lineup, then playing significant minutes right from the get go.
Yeah, I wouldn't be. You know, I would be actually shocked if he isn't in that starting lineup, especially as you said, with Markelle Fultz out. Maybe it's one or two games, but it might be a situation like Anthony Edwards and LaMelo Ball. But those guys didn't have a preseason; they didn't have a summer league to get acquainted, or they had a preseason, but they didn't have the full experience. And I don't think it'll be long before Suggs is in that mix. But it's not just Jalen Suggs. You can't sell me this team, Phil, just on one guy who's a rookie who we haven't seen play in the NBA. Like, what else is interesting about this team?
You know, I think what's going to be really interesting about this team is the recovery of Jonathan Isaac from injury. I mean, if you're talking about someone who has shown a lot of reasons to be excited about him on the court, it's Isaac. This guy was putting up nearly quadruple double numbers, leading the league in stocks, which is steals and blocks combined. I think that he could very well be the first perimeter defender or the first kind of wing defender to win Defensive Player of the Year since Andre Kirilenko back in, I think it was 2004. And that's the Defensive Player of the Year, you know, category. You know, maybe Draymond Green fits that category. I don't know if he does. But it's dominated by centers and dominated by big men. And sure, Jonathan Isaac's 7 feet, but he plays like a wing. He is what everyone would call a unicorn. And obviously we've missed him because of the torn ACL, because of the injuries that he's had over the last year and a half. But once he's on the floor, you know he's going to provide some type of highlight defensively and just make a play that makes you just kind of do a double take like that. Did he just do that? This is not your typical bad team that has bad players. This is a bad team with a lot of really good young talent that you want to watch grow.
Yeah, and this isn't like if you've seen the Magic, get into the eighth seed and get swept out, or be battling in that area the last couple of years, and it's just boring. Like it's Fournier and it's Gordon and it's Vooch. Like they're fine. They're all right. It's none of those like
it's conservative Steve Clifford basketball. It wins games, gets you to 500, but it doesn't win in the playoffs.
That's right, and we don't have that anymore. This is a team that the center position is going to be like two 22-year-olds battling it out with Wendell Carter and Mo Bamba. You're going to have Yechuma Okeke, who's playing his second season. You've got a rookie Franz Wagner playing on the wing. You've got, as you mentioned, Cole Anthony, Markelle Fultz, the former number one overall pick, Jalen Suggs in the mix, Jonathan Isaac, excitement machine, RJ Hampton as well, coming off the bench. So this is a team that's just littered with guys who have been picked in the last 2 to 3 years of NBA drafts. Yes, and the older guys are players like Fultz, who was picked 5 years ago, like 4 years ago, same as Isaac, like not all that long ago. They're all those, outside of Terrence Ross, who knows how long he's going to be on the team, all of those guys who are sort of solid 28, 29-year-old veterans are gone. And we are left with a bunch of young guys to try and figure it out. Jamal Mosley, a new head coach. Phil, is there anything specific we can expect from Jamal? Will we see, unlike the Clifford, let's just try and beat them by putting them to sleep and really focusing on defense, will we see more high-flying offensive antics and going at pace and trying to really work on that side rather than let's just try and stop a team from beating us rather than let's go out and beat them like the Clifford model?
Yeah, I think that is something we're going to see. Mosley's talked a lot. His kind of buzzwords are we're going to play with pace, space, and the pass. And who really knows what that means? But, Jamal Mosley's also a defensive coach. So don't think that the Magic are not going to play defense. But what I suspect that we will see is Orlando is going to really try and push the pace. They're going to really try and get after and get into guys defensively. Mosley with Dallas. Dallas's defenses didn't rate particularly well. But everyone kind of understood when you played Dallas, they were going to get into you. They're going to be physical with you. They're going to play up on the ball. They're going to try and shoot into gaps and get steals to create some transition, which fed, what was one of the best offenses in the league for the last few years. I suspect that that's going to be the Magic strategy with such a young roster and a ton of ball handlers. I mean, Cole Anthony, RJ Hampton, Jalen Suggs, Markelle Fultz all can handle the point. The Magic, I think, are going to run multiple point guard lineups. They're going to try and get after guys, get into passing lanes, get steals, get turnovers, and get out in transition where they have plenty of athletes who can run the floor and plenty of versatility to run different styles of play and throw different things at you. So I think they're going to be much more varied and aggressive than they have in the last few years.
So there you go. You've got a brand new coach in his first stop as a head coach. You've got a former number one overall pick. You've got a guy who'd probably go number one in most drafts in Jalen Suggs. You've got a defensive player of the year candidate in John Isaac. You have got and plenty of other just young, interesting wing players, top seven centers in Mo Bamba and Wendell Carter, a lot of young promising talent that's trying to find their way in the NBA. And that is why you need to be tuning in to watch some Orlando Magic games. And after you've tuned in to watch those Orlando Magic games, why don't you go and check out Philip on the Locked On Magic podcast, and he can tell you everything that's been happening around the Magic. Phil, thanks for coming on Locked On NBA with me.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
And that'll do it for another episode of Locked On NBA. Don't forget to follow this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and on the Odyssey app. And if you have gone and watched this on YouTube in our separate segments over there, go and give it a thumbs up. Go and hit subscribe. Go and leave your comments down below over on YouTube as well. Also, make sure you're checking out the Locked On Bets podcast. Betting on the NBA doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorites, David Picks, and Lee Sterling's Lock of the Day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get podcasts. Follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.